Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Tongue is about to books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
And how are you all doing?
We've already mentioned it, but we're struggling over here at Sawbones.
Yes, we're on the struggle bus, as Cooper's teacher used
that's
to say.
A popular phrase.
I know, but that's the first time I heard
it. Yeah, I have not used it myself, but I have heard it used around me.
That's how hip I am. I learned lingo from my kid's kindergarten teacher.
Charlie uses it too. Now, I don't know if she learned it from her teacher, but Charlie also will say, Mommy, I'm on the struggle bus today.
We're directing a show with my dad. It's called Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. It's a musical. And if you're listening to this, and you can get to Huntington this weekend or next, it's going to be a heck of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You should come on out. Go to hartofwv.org, and you can get some tickets, and it's going to be great.
Nobody tells you when you think, like, we should do Charlie and the Chocolate Factory or Willy Wonka or any version of this story in an outdoor theater venue, how difficult that's going to be to execute. Nobody warns you about that.
Yeah.
I don't know who's supposed to. I don't know whose job it is to come warn you.
To make a whole factory. You know, there's a whole factory made of chocolate.
There should really, when you get rights, when you like request the rights, they should say like, wait, now hold on. Is this outside? Are you sure? Think about it.
But anyway, that's
It's incredible what we have accomplished. But
yes. And if you're listen, by the time you come this weekend or next, it's going to be a heck of a thing. But right now, it's taking a lot of work, opening a lot of veins here at Sawbones.
Well, can I just say that the cast is incredible? The performances are outstanding.
It's wonderful.
We just want to give
such a great time.
Give them the magic, the technical magic surrounding them to really showcase their theater prowess.
What are we doing this week? Well, we have talked in the past trying to use Sydney's medical acumen to talk about popular culture, and we thought, what better way than for us to go through the incredible Chocolate Factory experience and talk about the logistics of it from a biological perspective?
Because let me tell you something so there are lots of different versions of this story, right? There's the original book, which I've never read, which I guess is probably different. And then there's the movie, which I think most of us grew up with Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka. I think that's the one most of us are most familiar with. There's multiple staged versions that are slightly different. And then there's, of course, two more movies that have been made in that same, genre.
Right.
And I don't know that everyone would be familiar with how each character meets their end,
which probably differs. I know it differs telling to telling. So
yes, and what we realized as we were staging this version of the story is that in a lot of the staged versions of Willy Wonka or Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, whatever, what have you, they make a point of bringing back the golden ticket winners and the family members who didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
The losers,
yes,
I guess.
If you will.
At the end, for some little, like trudging away sadly moment, and I think the main purpose is, even in the movie, it's not 100% clear what happens to those kids,
right?
Like, you hope they are fine. You are led to believe by Willy Wonka, that there will be a fix to their problem.
Yes.
But you're not guaranteed that they're fine. And so I think showing them at the end is just a way of saying, like, don't worry. Don't worry. No kids were killed in this show that you just brought your children to see.
Yes,
at the
fine.
Park outside on
the
a wonderful Saturday evening. So this is not included in our version of this show.
Right.
We added it.
Yes. Yeah, it's bonus. Bonus material.
Bonus. We didn't change anything. They just wander onto stage.
Yeah, just to show they were not, in fact, yes, murdered.
Nothing was added to the script or deleted. They wander on and wander off, and they're fine, and no children will cry. But what we wanted to talk about was the legitimacy of each of these characters surviving and thriving following their grisly factory fates.
Okay. Now, Augustus Gloop is the first little boy to perish. I'm going to say die. We all know they don't die, but it's I don't know a better way of saying it.
Gene Wilder's Willy Wonka has a line that makes it very clear that they're fine. They return to their terrible, awful selves, something to that effect.
So the first kid to get off Augustus Gloop is drinking from Mr. Wonka's incredible chocolate river, which is churning.
Mm-hmm. With a waterfall.
With a waterfall.
I've created one for our stage.
Yes. Incredible. While consuming said chocolate, which he's told not to eat the chocolate, which I think is rude, honestly.
Well, he'll contaminate it with his human hands.
Yes, but this has always bothered me. You set the people loose in the chocolate room, and you say, just go ham, right? Go ham. Goes the teacup. Oh, a teacup. I'm just going to eat this teacup. Incredible. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's a flower that's a teacup that you can also eat. That's two different. People don't talk about that enough. It's a flower that's also a teacup. That would be so impressive, right? If you found a flower that could also hold your tea, but then you eat it, oh my gosh, it's three things. That's incredible.
It is incredible.
But you're telling everybody to eat all this stuff, and the kid sees, like, incredible chocolate flowing down an incredible river, and you're like, well, I see the grand prize right here in terms of eating. This is a once-in-a-lifetime eating experience. I'm taking it straight from the source. Why have the frigging catfish? You know what I mean? Why the honeypot?
Well,
why are they contaminating the other things in this room, which is presumably for chocolate and candy production?
Well, no, the other things are not for chocolate and candy production.
That's wild. It's wild that you have a private space for your own delights, and yet you have a commercial chocolate pipeline exposed through. That's wild.
Well, now listen, Willy Wonka never planned on letting anybody in the factory until he realized, wait, I am mortal.
Right.
And so I must bring in a young mortal. Unless you believe he's not mortal, which, can I tell you, our cast has lots of theories about what Willy Wonka is and isn't.
Alien gets bandied about a lot.
Vampire gets thrown in there. Time Lord has been entertained in my presence. Not by me, but other people. So Augustus falls into the chocolate river, which, like, okay, but the whole thing is this kid's supposed to be greedy, and he is told you can eat anything in this room but that, but it's not good enough for him. That's the point.
That's the kid I want at the top of my organization. Augustus Gloop has a grind set that Willy Wonka should respect. Respect the hustle. Great entrepreneurs don't follow rules. Sydney, we watched 6 episodes and we crashed. You know this.
No, this is more of a Succession thing.
I guess, but, like, he loves the chocolate so much that he'll break the rules to get it.
You see Augustus Gloop as your Tom Wamsgans.
No, I'm not.
that's who you want, Morgan Roy.
That's who
Morgan
I want.
Roy.
That's why. Augustus is the. I keep saying Augusta because Augusta is Augusta in
our
show.
Augustus is Augusta.
She's just very strong. Like, I don't know. I don't want to make a whole.
Well, the whole song's about it. How strong she is.
This is a newer version. That was recently on Broadway in the West End that we're doing now, so it's a little bit more updated.
So, okay, the kid falls into the river.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, in order to survive initially, you cannot drown in the chocolate, which, it's churning. And so I'd like to allow for the possibility that there are air pockets because it is churning the chocolate. So it's adding air to the chocolate. Mm-hmm. It's aerating the chocolate. So I think if we combine maybe some major lung capacity mm-hmm. in young Augustus with possible air pockets in this aerated chocolate, mm-hmm. then we survive to the pipe. And like they make the point, like then they clearly say mm-hmm. he's blocking the chocolate in the pipe. So he's not drowning in the pipe mm-hmm. because he's blocking the chocolate. Mm-hmm. So he's got air to breathe.
Okay. What so about...
We can eliminate drowning as a concern.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
I'm just doing it. I did it. There it is.
I have a problem with it from a cooking perspective. To keep that chocolate liquid to a point where it is going to keep flowing, I mean, I think you've got... I mean, when you're making candy or making fudge, like, you're getting up into the 200s Fahrenheit, like, and maybe you don't need to maintain that, but it's going to have to be pretty warm to keep from clogging the works because it's getting cooled by the air above it, right? So it's got to be heated enough to compensate for that.
It's not... It doesn't have to be that hot because... Think about a chocolate fountain, okay. which we have operated before.
Right.
The chocolate in a chocolate fountain, you add oil to it.
Yes.
It has a low melting point. It's specifically formulated melting chocolate. I'm assuming it's got a really high fat content.
Yes.
You add oil to it, and then it melts yes. very easily. And when you can dip, I mean, don't, but if you see a chocolate fountain out in the wild, you could stick your finger in and not get burnt.
Yes, Dr. McElroy, but... What you're ignoring is this chocolate is not going to be used and extruded as a liquid product. Once you introduce that amount of oil into it, it's not going to re-solidify into a chocolate bar. We're talking about a tempered chocolate that has to retain the shape once it's poured into the mold. So it's going to have to be pretty friggin' hot.
So you think if you actually fell in, then you would just be instantly burned and we don't really need to worry about drowning because you're already dead.
Well, I don't know if 250, I don't know, can we hang out at, like, I don't know if it's like $150, $200, no. Can we hang with that?
No, we don't do well with that.
We can't hang with that?
Nope, we don't do well with that.
All right, here's what I think. I'm going to call Roald Dahl to the mat for this, and not just for being America's most beloved anti-Semite.
Yeah, there's a lot of things you could really call him to the mat for.
Roald Dahl is, maybe we should set this up top. Absolutely, absolutely horrid person.
Yes.
Who created things that have brought people a lot of joy and still, you know, I think he can go pound sand. I think he's a horrid guy.
Yeah.
But I think it's nice to reclaim things that bring us joy if we can from horrid people and take it from them and make it our own and ground their names into the dust.
It's a struggle for a lot of Harry Potter fans, isn't it?
Yeah. It's tough.
We need to move on.
So Roald Dahl stinks on ice. Just wanted to say that again.
Okay.
Roald Dahl stinks. Anyway, go ahead.
So, okay.
This is what I was going to say. He would have scalded his hand. He puts it into the river
and
instantly.
So he never would have fallen in. He never would have fallen in because he never would have tried to.
My burns. I'm suing you for millions.
But either way, if we assume that it is chocolate fountain chocolate and he did fall in and he didn't burn and okay. he doesn't
yep.
suffocate.
Right.
I think this is true about Willy Wonka in general, that Willy Wonka has more control over his factory than he lets on. And when he calls and he's like, he's going to the fudge room, we don't want him to get turned into fudge, we don't want to get it burned. He can get that stuff turned off right away. Mm-hmm. He's got it shut down. Yeah. He's not worried. That kid's not turning into fudge. Mm-hmm. There's no chance the kid's turning into fudge.
Right.
The other kids are supposed to listen to the story from the Oompa Loompas. This is for the benefit of the other children. You know?
So he's trying to use scare tactics, but
yes.
You're saying he's fine.
Now, I'm saying that I think it is believable that Augustus survives his ordeal. Let's move on to the next child.
Okay, next child is... Who?
Violet Beauregard.
She loves gum.
She loves gum.
If you don't
gum.
Know this about mm-hmm. her.
She's kind of a YouTube star in this version.
Yeah. She's been chewing the same amount of gum for a very long time, and that has somehow made her TikTok or Instagram famous, which I say somehow, but a lot of people have probably done well there on those platforms with a lot less.
Listen, if you don't do theater... let me tell you this. You're not supposed to change things when you get like a script and you're performing it, like they tell you, like it's a legal thing. You're not supposed to change anything. And we have struggled a lot with the fact that they reference what a big Twitter star she is.
Yeah. It's like, well.
Because there is no Twitter it would be X, and she is a child, she would not be on it.
Yeah,
the kids don't use social media.
Like Twitter, they don't.
They didn't use Twitter. Yeah. They don't use. They certainly don't use X. Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, probably one of those.
But that's not the important thing. The important thing is that Violet chews a piece of experimental gum that's supposed to simulate a meal, basically.
Let's leave aside whether or not that could exist. I mean, it could taste like a bunch of different stuff, but could it also contain the amount of juice that causes her to expand into a blueberry?
It's not an amount of juice. It's a chemical reagent. It's somewhere in her brain. This is what I'm thinking, right?
That does not make sense.
It does make sense. Okay, so gum.
This is a piece of TARDIS gum.
The gum can't change flavor in its substance, right? The only thing that it could do is trigger a hormonal reaction in your brain.
Okay.
To trigger those sensory receptors.
That makes sense to me. Maybe not currently feasible, but you could understand how something like that could exist.
Right.
And it could be sort of like coated pills. We could have layers on each level so that it changes, so that it sends different chemical signals. Okay. So that is possible.
What it does is accidentally, when it gets to blueberry pie, the hormonal thing that is in the gum, it messes. And I'm saying hormonal is like a stand-in for brain juice. You know what I mean? And the hormonal thing, it triggers the fluid glands in the body, fluid production. Fluid production, and that makes her expand out.
Okay, that doesn't make sense.
I think
you're not creating fluid in the body.
Okay, this
you
is
can't
the problem.
Create matter. You could move fluid into the third space. So that's a question I would have. Functionally, where are we imagining that all this juice?
Yes.
That she is now full
You're
with.
Saying it's dimensional.
Where is it?
You're saying
it's
a dimensional shift.
Well, because if it's in, is it inside her physical stomach? Did the gum went into her stomach,
mm-hmm.
the organ, her stomach. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about that part of your body that people sometimes refer to broadly as the stomach. I'm talking about the organ.
Okay.
If the juice is all inside the stomach and that is her stomach expanding, that doesn't make sense based on how she appears. Because she turns into a perfectly round blueberry.
Right.
Your stomach expanding would not do that. It would just cause your abdomen to expand. And eventually your stomach would rupture, by the way.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make sense. So is she somehow third spacing all of her fluid, meaning all of the fluid that's contained within her vasculature, her veins and arteries? Is it leaking out, which does happen, right? That's how you get swelling in your legs. If you've seen your legs get puffy sometimes, or if you have a condition that causes you to get swelling, you third space it, meaning it moves from where it's supposed to the third space inside the tissues, inside your interstitial tissues and everything, where it's not really supposed to be.
Okay.
And we have methods for removing fluid from that third space already because it's something that physiologically and pathologically happens in the human body already.
Right.
It's not juice. It's cellular fluid,
yeah,
which is very different. But the ways that we can remove it, if it is in the third space, is either through diuretics at times. I don't know that this would necessarily work on juice, though, because we're talking about a different osmotic balance.
I will say, though, she says in this version of the script that she feels like she has to use the bathroom.
She does.
Which makes me feel like that, one, maybe that should be in the script. It's a really wild line. Second, that she, maybe that would help. Maybe that would alleviate the situation with diuretics.
Now, the other question is it expanding inside her colon?
Okay.
Somehow, which I don't know how it would, it could not transit that quickly. At that point, again, the swelling picture, the visible picture doesn't make sense. But then laxatives, but that, I don't think that answers our question. I think what you're probably
deja vu, and do you know why? We've had an almost identical conversation about the Incredible Hulk.
Yes, we have. What is
we
expanding?
Said it on interdimensional, isn't that right? It's being
well, isn't that
it,
what it is, canon?
It was, it's like
it's canon, an interdimensional thing.
Interdimensional matter being
that's such
sucked
a cheat.
In.
That's such a
I know
such
the a whole thing.
Deus
is.
Ex machina. But then, other than diuretics, the other thing, and I think that this is what he's sort of referencing when he talks about sending her to the juicing room, compression. Another way, if you have swelling in your legs, that we might advise you to alleviate it is with compression stockings, or sometimes with things like lymphedema, where you accumulate lymphatic fluid in different parts of your body. We can do special compression wrapping. That's not something you should try on your own. There are specialists who are trained in compression wraps so that you don't make things worse, you make things better. Mm-hmm. But like, if you had people who like work at a lymphedema clinic and know mm-hmm. how to do compressive dressings, you could probably alleviate a lot of the swelling in her limbs. Central compression is a bigger problem. So I think you would need the use of diuretics. I don't think elevation is going to work because her whole body's swollen.
Yeah.
But I can see a reality where you could alleviate some of that swelling using traditional medical methods.
What about the damage to the epidermis?
What about the damage?
Well, when the swelling
she's blue, she might still be blue.
Well, she might still be blue, but didn't she get all stretched out and her skin get all stretched out?
Well, she might. And I mean, if the swelling was that severe, she may have excess skin afterwards. But I'm talking about survival, and that's not true. A huge deal if okay. she survives, but then she's got some excess. I mean, there's surgeries for that, too. You know, that happens with a lot of weight loss as well. So you could have that down the road. I don't have any fix for the blue. The blue seems very quick onset. And unless it's sort of like a jaundice picture, in which case like something is not being cleared by the liver or the kidneys, and so it's backing up and accumulating in the skin. And then after that pressure is alleviated and the kidneys or liver, whatever, could function properly, then it is gone. But I would bet she's going to be blue permanently.
My. Two naughty little children gone. Two.
Three.
Well, yeah, but Charlie doesn't.
Yeah, Charlie makes it. Spoilers.
Three good little children left.
All right. I'm going to tell you about Veruca, which is different from the movie. But before we do that, we got to go to the billing department.
Let's go. The medicines that escalate macabre for the
mouth. You know, it's tempting to say, I'm going to start on the big new thing. You know, when the new year comes, I'm going to get it all figured out. Here's what I want to tell you. There's never been a better time to start your dream than right this second. And there's never been a better way to start than with Squarespace. We've been telling you about Squarespace for years, and that's because it's simply the best way to make a website. I mean, there's no other way to put it than that, folks. People have been using Squarespace to make incredible professional-looking websites. And they look professional because the templates they're using, they are made by real web designers. So they're making, like, building blocks that are going to look great. You just bring your stuff, your images, your things you want to sell, any of that, and Squarespace is going to help you make a great platform for it. Head to squarespace.com/sawbones for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use offer code sawbones to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Sid, scrubs aren't like any other kind of clothes. Is that right? Scrubs aren't just like regular clothes. They're action clothes. They're clothes you gotta be able to perform in.
That's true. I definitely think that function is the primary concern with scrubs, but as someone who spends I don't want to say the majority of my life, but at least half of my life. No, it is the majority of my time in scrubs. I also
don't know about sleeping. You don't sleep in scrubs.
No, but you could if they're comfortable enough, which these are. But you also want them to look nice. Mm-hmm. And that's what's nice about Figs is that they are very functional. I'm not worried about when I'm down on the sidewalk doing my street medicine and my Figs. But also, I look nice. I get compliments on them. People don't always know they're scrubs.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how nice they look.
Well, that's a huge compliment because I know a lot of times scrubs have a reputation for not looking great and also being kind of itchy.
Yeah, these are not itchy. They're super soft. They're comfortable. I don't sleep in them because I do wear them to work and that would not be sanitary. But if I washed them, I could sleep in them. That's how comfy they are.
Sid, what is the number one reason that you have to do laundry every single week for you personally?
My scrubs.
Your scrubs. And wouldn't that be a little bit easier for anybody who's in the scrub game if they stocked up a little bit, had a few backup pairs?
Absolutely. Get yourself some more Figs. They're antimicrobial, so they'll keep you protected. They're durable, so you can wash them over and over again if you need to, like I do. And like I said, you look nice. You're going to look like a TV doc.
Like a TV doctor.
Yeah, like a TV doc.
It's the perfect time to stock up with some fresh outfits for the year, and Figs just dropped a brand new collection of limited edition styles and accessories. If you're in healthcare or shopping for someone who is, you can get 15% off your first order at wearfigs.com with the code FIGSRX. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.
People say not to judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree.
Which is why here on Just the Zoo of Us, we judge them by so much more.
We rate animals out of 10 in the categories of effectiveness, ingenuity, and aesthetics, taking into consideration each animal's true strengths, like a pigeon's ability to tell a Monet from a Picasso, or a polar bear's ability to play basketball.
Guest experts like biologists, ecologists, and more join us to share their unique insight into the animal's world.
Listen with friends and family of all ages on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get podcasts.
I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
I'm Elliot Kalin.
And together we are The Flophouse, a long-running podcast on the Maximum Fun Network, where we watch a bad movie and then talk about it.
And because we're so long-running, maybe you haven't given us a chance. I get it, but you don't actually have to know anything about previous episodes to enjoy us, and I promise you that if you find our voices irritating, we grow endearing over time.
Perhaps you listened to one of our old episodes and decided that we were dumb and immature. Well, we've been doing this a while now. We have become smarter and more mature, and generally nicer to Dan.
But we are only human, so no promises.
Find The Flophouse on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get podcasts.
Veruca Salt wants the world. She wants the whole world.
Mm-hmm. Veruca Salt in the movie, of course, falls down the bad nut chute. Bad egg. It's an egg in the movie. It's an egg.
It's a little... confusing because it is, she is judged as a bad egg by the nut testing squirrels. So I think the nut testing squirrels are using bad egg metaphorically.
No, they call her a bad nut.
I'm saying in the original book by noted bad person Roald Dahl.
Oh, I didn't know that. See, and I thought she was, I mean, because there's golden geese that decide she's a bad egg.
Right.
And in our version, there are giant squirrels that decide she's a bad nut.
Yes.
Yes. And then when they decide she's a bad nut, she doesn't just fall down the bad nut chute.
Right.
Not in this version.
Nope.
And is this true to the book?
I don't think so.
In this version, the Oompa Loompas and giant squirrels, which all of the Oompa Loompas become giant squirrels in this scene for us.
Why not?
Whatever. They get tails and ears and these cute little aprons with nuts in them. Anyway, they rip her limb from limb.
Yeah.
On stage.
Pretty intense.
Yeah. We do not know, no actors are harmed in the making of this show. We have a doll. But that is how Veruca meets her end. She literally has her arms and legs ripped off by giant squirrels on stage, and then arms, legs, torso with head still connected. The head is not removed. Boy, this was a point in rehearsal last night as the head was attempted to be removed, and I was in the audience yelling, "Stop! Not the head! It's on there!" The head stays. But all of these pieces are then thrown down the bad nut chute.
Okay.
And there's a reference that she'll be reassembled with a glue stick.
Right.
This one's the easiest, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Well, okay.
Depending, I guess, right?
Well, we can reattach limbs.
Yes.
We do that. We already do that.
Can we reattach a head? We already done that?
No. Okay. Internal decapitation can happen where the spine is broken in the right place where we would call it an internal decapitation. Mm-hmm. Now, when you hear the word decapitation, you imagine like head in one part of the room, body in another. An internal decapitation.
Can I say, honey, stop. Stop right there. When I imagine decapitation, I imagine head one in one room, body in another.
Well, I'm just saying, like, distance in physical space.
What is wrong with you?
Well, nobody thinks decapitation, and you would still look at
it. Why are you imagining it anyway? But when you do, why have you imagined this Saw-style puzzle? Doctor?
I'm just saying that once we've severed, like, you know, all those major vessels and all of the spinal cord and all of, I mean, like, your trachea and your esophagus. And, I mean, there's a lot of, listen. For all of you future medical students or current medical students, there's a lot of stuff in the neck. There's so many things in the neck, and you got to memorize them all. You got to know what they're all called and where they are and what they connect to. And when they go wrong, you got to know about what that means. There's so much stuff
pipes
in the
and bones.
Neck. So much. Anyway, so once like the neck is completely severed, like obviously no, that's not fixable. But this doesn't happen. So we don't have to. What I'm talking about is when the bones break in a certain way in the neck, we call that an internal decapitation. But like your head is still like if I'm looking at you, you look fine. It's just the bones are broken in a certain way. That can happen.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, no, she is not decapitated. Her arms and legs are torn off. Those can be reattached. So this is like now obviously we don't use a glue stick. We use like surgery. We use.
You guys, you know, you all use surgical
sutures
and sometimes glue.
Not for this.
Mm-hmm.
If you have like a minor skin laceration, we might use surgical glue.
Okay.
But no, we do not use it for reattaching an arm.
So if you reattach an arm, are you using like needle and thread still?
Well, inside, you're going to need to use some sort of hardware to do that to attach the bones, right? Because joints have been torn, and so all of the other structures that support a joint, because the bones are up against each other, but then you've got all of the musculature and the ligaments and the tendons and everything that connects everything together. All of that has been ripped asunder. And so you're going to have to reattach all of that and then probably put some hardware in place too.
Are those considered bionics, or does there have to be some more functionality before it's considered that?
Yeah, I think I do not believe we consider just replacing, because we already replaced joints, right? We already have fake knees and fake shoulders and all this stuff. Fake hips. These are not bionics. This is just usually like some metal doing what the joint normally does.
Fascinating.
Anyway, I'm guaranteeing you're going to need some of that. An orthopedic surgeon could do all this. The only thing you got to consider is the blood loss.
Yeah.
That's a major amount of blood loss that can occur all at once. And so you would need to immediately staunch the bleeding from all four open wounds.
And
those four limbs need to be placed on ice like ASAP for them to be viable to be reattached. So I don't know, like the bad nut shoot in the movie, they say it ends in the incinerator. That's a problem.
Yeah. But
where does the bad nut shoot end in our show? It's kind of vague.
We still got to build it. So I don't know. Yeah, so, we'll see what we have time to do.
But assuming that the Oompa Loompas could arrive with ice fast enough, you'd be okay.
And if she needs a transfusion, I know somewhere where we can get a bunch of glucose-rich blood that was just ported in from another dimension that's just sitting there that they juiced out of Violet. So they could give Veruca a transfusion of that incredible nutrient-rich blood.
That was not blood, but okay.
We don't know
she
if
was
it
not
was.
Filled with blood.
I'm just saying.
You think of all the options, that's what Violet Beauregard is filling up? That is the grossest possible, the most disturbing option you could have picked.
Honey, the idea that anybody would think it's anything else is so wild to me. I've, of course, always assumed
juice.
That it's blood.
It's juice.
How's she making juice? We don't make juice. We make blood.
Well,
we're
pretend.
People.
It's
Dr.
pretend.
McElroy.
Interdimensional.
Okay.
Finally, Mike TV.
Mike TV. Now, this is interesting because he gets shrunk down through TV rays. Well, he doesn't yet.
I can't.
But
we're I can't
still
answer this
on
one.
It.
It's all pretend.
It's not all pretend.
It is pretend. We can't shrink people. We don't have the ability to
here
shrink
she
people.
Goes again.
So I don't listen. The way that they okay. So he gets shrunk.
Imagine I'm tiny. Okay.
Uh huh.
Okay. Let me ask you this. We do have an analog for this. Astronauts.
They don't get shrunk.
They get smaller in space, and when they come back to Earth, they're smaller. How do we fix that?
What do you mean they get smaller?
They're shorter. Astronauts are shorter
well,
when
no,
they get
you're
back
talking
to Earth.
About, what you're talking about is they don't have gravity. And that has an effect on the human skeleton to
right.
like function without gravity for a long. And it can cause muscular atrophy. That's why they have to do all those special exercises.
Right.
Because it can cause your muscles to atrophy and you can have trouble walking when you return if you don't. Even if you do all that stuff, I'm assuming there's still problems.
You're taller when you get back. Not shorter, taller. Because of the lack of gravity's pull, right? You're
everything,
a little bit taller.
Everything's stretched out?
Yeah. Astronauts get taller in space.
Uh-huh.
This is true.
Okay.
But it can
it
add
should
up,
level
listen,
out.
It could add up to 2 inches to a 6-foot tall astronaut.
Oh, that's wild.
So
are we
here's
imagining?
What I'm saying.
Are we imagining that the Wonka vision is just actually an incredible gravitational field that pulls Mike TV down into a tiny version of himself?
Yes, and there's only one solve for it. This is ground control to Major Mike. We got to send him up.
Do you think that's what happens? I know that in the sequel, book to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, like the Amazing Glass Wonka Vader, whatever it is. I've never read it, but our our Willy Wonka in our show has read it, and our Charlie Bucket has now read it, and they have both discussed it near me, so I have heard about it. I know so much. Everyone is discussing Willy Wonka and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, all versions of this and theories all the time.
Yeah.
Everyone is very into this. And so I hear all of this, even if I'm not consuming it. But I guess they go to outer space in the sequel.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe that's why they go, to take Mike TV.
To stretch him out.
Because clearly what they talk about, like, they're going to take him to the taffy room and stretch him out.
We don't do that.
Well, and I don't even think we say that. Actually, in this version, Ms. TV is fine with it.
Yeah, she's thrilled because she's got her little boy back. So she puts him in her purse and leaves.
And is happy and has no interest and wants to be reassured that it will not be undone. So there is no fix.
I will say that
he's alive.
In the case of the astronauts, it regulates after a couple months. So maybe Mike will just gradually go back.
So what we're saying is remove gravity. Our fix for Mike is send him to space.
We're assuming that
gravity.
He was exposed through Wonka Vision to a super field of gravity, as they say. And so returning to Earth's gravity will gradually return him to his normal height, just like the astronauts.
But if we want to do it faster so that by the end of the show, we can have him walk across the stage and reassure the children that he's fine, we got to send him to outer space and then bring him back.
Got
to
be space.
All right. Let's let Gil know.
All right.
That's our actor who's playing.
Hey, folks, thank you so much for hanging in there with us. We hope you enjoyed yourself for this half hour. I know I have. This has actually been the most fun. I shouldn't say that. It's a joy. It's a joy. Theater is a joy and it's a gift. And we hope that you can make it. If you can come this weekend or next, it'd be cool.
It's in a park venue. Had some people come from outside Huntington. An outside park amphitheater. So it's like bring your own lawn chairs or blankets or whatever. We don't have seating. You just find your spot. You can bring a cooler or a picnic basket or whatever, food and drink, and make a whole evening of it. There's like a kids pre-show that our kids are in where they do like Broadway songs.
We'll be there. My dad's Grandpa Joe, so he'll be there. It's going to be fun. Come on out.
You'll see us running around backstage and in the wings trying to fix things at the last minute, probably.
Please feel free to say hi. That is going to do it for us for this week. Thanks to Taxpayers for the use of their song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program. And thanks to you for listening. That's going to do it. Until next time, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported directly by you.